Gospel today, we see Jesus forecast the destruction of Israel, of Jerusalem, and of the temple that was there. And this seems to arouse the disciples' interest as Jesus prophesied about this. They started to think to themselves, well, what else is going to happen if our whole nation is going to be destroyed, which actually happened about 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus rose from the dead. So it was the end of the world for them. But Jesus goes on to tell them that even after that, there will be wars and there will be natural disasters from time to time, but there will also be those that will take place before Jesus comes, which the world has never experienced. But after this takes place, Christ will come again to be the judge of the living and the dead. The teachings of Jesus about the end times are found in the gospel. They're nothing new. They've always been there. These were the last teachings that Jesus gave before he entered into his passion. So they've always been a part of the scriptures, and they've always been a part of our faith. So as we wrap up the season of ordinary time, and this next week we get these last words of Jesus, and then we'll pick up with the Passion, of course, during Lent. But when I used to do scripture studies way back down on the college campuses at the Newman Centers, the students would always want to study these gospel readings, these last words of Jesus about the end times, because I think they found it very interesting and intriguing, so we would. And at first, it was mostly out of curiosity, but once we began to discuss them and these future events and think about them, the students would go from being really interested and excited about reading this part of scripture to being a little bit uncomfortable as the words dawned on them, even maybe a little afraid that this could maybe occur in their lifetime. We know that these end time events will occur someday, but we don't know when or what generation they will take place in. They could happen in our lifetime, or they could happen many generations from now. We don't know. But as I said to them, the important thing to remember is that the Lord tells us all over the scriptures, if you are for me, you never have to be afraid, especially the baptized and the confirmed. But on the other hand, I think it's good that we meditate on these passages occasionally, and so does the church, because these end time readings, when we hear them, have the potential to wake us up if we've fallen into a state of lukewarmness, perhaps, in the practice of our faith or devotions. And they should call us to reflect on the fact that the Christian always is invited to be spiritually prepared for the return of the Lord or our own death, whatever may come first. But oftentimes, as we know, as human beings, as we get caught up in those daily rhythms of life and living out our jobs and vocations, sometimes we can get stuck in our own minds where everything is somewhat comfortable and we don't let ourselves think of these possible realities because, like those students I taught long ago, they might make us feel uncomfortable or afraid. In fact, you would think that the apostles and the disciples of Jesus would have felt the same way when they heard about these events coming from our Lord. But on the other hand, they didn't. Yeah, they might have felt some curiosity at first, but then as Jesus told them that he was going to return to judge the living and the dead and deliver us from sin, that they were excited. They anticipated his return with great joy. They didn't let it turn into fear in their hearts, this news, but they channeled it into expectation, into excitement. And this is, of course, what we'll hear about more as we go into the Advent season with our readings. But they could not wait for the Lord to come back and conquer the world's evils. as they could not wait for the Lord whom they loved so dearly to return to take them home to that heavenly kingdom that he had told them so much about, and where there would be no more tears, but only peace and joy for eternity. And so the early Christian communities, every day, they longed for these events to come, because they are signs that the Lord's return is near. In fact, many of those early Christians did experience the persecution that Christ prophesied, as the Roman emperor, who was very anti-Christian and many times would have them arrested, or they would be portrayed by perhaps their own family members or relatives or friends because they had converted to following Jesus, but the others didn't. And so they gave them over, but they were happy to die even for their faith. And so Jesus calls us to continue to trust in him and not to worry about those things, but to know that if we stay calm and trust in him and entrust our futures to him, that we'll be okay. But in order to do that, we need a strong faith and we need to keep nurturing a strong prayer life. And one of the ways we do that is by coming to church on Sunday and having the Lord give us that strength through the Eucharist. And this is the way Christian stays prepared for whatever may come. If we are truly prepared, of course, there is nothing to fear. And our faith tells us that Christ will always be there for us to protect us and to guide us if we but stay close to him through our prayer and through his church, which has always been there for us, which has always been a refuge for all Christians, especially in times of uncertainty and distress. And so we pray today that our loving God would help us to keep these future events in mind, but that we may also remember and trust in his constant care and protection for all of us, his children.